It's time for the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast.
Welcome back to the SwampSwamiSports.com sports podcast. And today we're taking a look at the Super Smorgasbord. If you've been following my recent post, you were not surprised that the winning team in Sunday's NFL season finale football game won the game by just 3 points. In the final 7 football games of the NFL season, 6 of them were won by 3 points, and Kansas City won by 6 points on an overtime touchdown scored against Buffalo. I would think that this series of fantastic finishes gotta be some type of NFL record. The statistical improbability of having 7 consecutive razor-close finishes makes me and some of my friends raise an eyebrow.
I'm all ears.
As to whether this flurry of extremely close football games may have resulted from some strong suggestions coming from the league's top office.
Excellent.
Well, coincidence or not, mark this down. You will never see another series of NFL playoff games with any closer outcomes than you saw this season. Book it. You just witnessed history. The Los Angeles Rams' 23-20 win over Cincinnati Sunday night allowed the Rams, who were located in St. Louis in 1999 when they won their other Super Bowl trophy, to grab their first Super win upon returning to Los Angeles. Interestingly, the first of the Rams' Super Bowl wins occurred before Tom Brady played his first down in the NFL, and then the second one happened just a few weeks after Tom Terrific announced his retirement from the NFL after the Rams beat Tampa Bay. Yes, America, these are your Brady bookend Rams. So I had several thoughts about Sunday's big game. In fact, there are 10 of them, which follow, so, as they say, on with the countdown.
Number 1.
I'm happiest of all for Andrew Whitworth. The 40-year-old Whitworth, who is old enough to have played for Nick Saban when he was coaching LSU to the 2003 National Championship, is a 6'7" athletic marvel of an offensive tackle. After spending the majority of his pro career languishing in Cincinnati when the team was struggling to even reach 500 in most years, the big man still protects his quarterback quite well. And a note to fellow LSU alum Joe Burrow for Cincinnati. You might want to check and see if Big Wit is still available to come block for you in Cincinnati next year.
Number 2.
I'm also happy for Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford. Like his big blocking tackle Whitworth, Stafford languished at the bottom of the NFC Central most years with several lousy Lions teams in Detroit during his first dozen years of his career. In 12 years in Detroit, Matthew Stafford's Lions played in just 3 playoff games, and they lost each time. Now this year, Stafford went 4-0 in his first season in Los Angeles, and he just captured his first NFL championship. So dreams do come true.
Number 3.
And who can't be happy for Rams wide receiver Van Jefferson? Though Jefferson's wife attempted to watch the football game, she went into labor during the middle of Sunday's Super Bowl, and just a few hours after the game ended, she gave birth to a baby boy to go along with the couple's 5-year-old daughter. What a super day it was for the Van Jefferson family.
Number 4.
And you gotta be happy for Rams wide receiver Odell Beckham. The talented but controversial wide receiver from LSU did not win a national championship playing for the Tigers like his Rams teammate Andrew Whitworth did back in 2003, or on the other side of the ball, Cincinnati's LSU dynamic duo of quarterback Joe Burrow and wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase in LSU's unbeaten 2019 season. However, Odell Beckham now has himself an NFL championship ring.
Yes!
After grabbing the opening touchdown scored by the Rams, OBJ injured his knee, cutting across the field during the second quarter Sunday, and will have to have surgery later this week to repair his torn ACL. Now, Beckham's addition to the Rams during midseason from Cleveland was a key addition in the team's championship season.
Number 5.
And everyone's happy for Rams Super Bowl MVP, Cooper Kupp. Now, this is a guy who didn't have a single college scholarship offer coming out of high school after he played his last down in a high school football game. But Cooper Kupp has been proving everyone wrong since then. He played 4 years of college football at Eastern Washington University and then set NCAA records for career receiving yards and receptions. His precision pass routes in the NFL should be studied by all wide receivers. He was voted the Super Bowl MVP after catching the game-winning touchdown pass in the final 2 minutes of play. Nothing is impossible for Super Cooper Kupp.
Number 6.
And let's not forget the Rams defensive end Aaron Donald. He's a little bit like Cooper Kupp. Aaron Donald was not a highly touted recruit coming out of high school. He was considered a 3-star high school football player. Aaron Donald played his college football at his hometown University of Pittsburgh, but by college graduation, he was an All-American defensive end and became the first-round draft pick of the Los Angeles Rams. In addition to being a perennial NFL All-Pro now, Aaron Donald has also become a Super Bowl champion. After the game on Sunday, there were some whispers hinting that Aaron Donald might retire at the young age of 30. But during the team's victory parade in Los Angeles earlier today, Donald is reported as saying, quote, "We built a super team. We're going to bring a super team back. Why not run it back? We can be the world champions once again."
Number 7.
And speaking of retiring, I'm wondering about Rams head coach Sean McVay. Just 36 years of age, this young head coach has already guided the Rams into 2 Super Bowls, going 1-1. Like his talented defensive end Aaron Donald, the coach has strongly hinted recently that he's giving thoughts to walking away from the game. Now, he's engaged to be married soon and was quoted recently about how much he wants to raise a family. Since most successful NFL and college coaches work incredibly long hours under relentless pressure, Sean McVay could walk away from the coaching game for a year or two and literally come back and start over again if he wanted to. One source said that ESPN and Amazon are willing to pay McVay up to $10 million a year if he'll come to work for them as a network television analyst. Now, this rumor might have some legs, but time will tell. And of course I'm happy this week for the Cincinnati Bengals because they've become relevant once again. In the AFC, I fully admit that I've been a Pittsburgh Steelers fan ever since Terry Bradshaw was drafted back in 1970. However, the Cincinnati Bengals are a lot like my other favorite team in the NFC, the New Orleans Saints. The AFC Bengals play in one of the league's smallest markets, and they have to be prudent, okay, cheap, with their spending. The team's young coach, Zach Taylor, was just given a new contract extension, so now the team must spend its dollars wisely to build upon this year's success. Coach Zach Taylor and quarterback Joe Burrow remind me a lot of New Orleans' longtime duo of head coach Sean Payton and quarterback Drew Brees. And note to the Bengals, if you have any questions about which players to re-sign or draft, go talk to Joe Burrow first.
Number 9.
Okay, I'll turn negative for a minute. I'm still scratching my head about the NFL referee's performance during the final 2 drives of Sunday's big game. The NBC announce team told the viewers that the Rams and Bengals had been the 2 least penalized teams this year in the NFL. And for most of the football game, there were very few penalties called. Well, at least until the Rams' final touchdown drive, which happened to cover 15 plays, 79 yards, and took nearly 5 minutes off the clock. And all of a sudden, the referee's flag started to come out of nearly everywhere, play after play, as the officials decided that they wanted to start calling pass interference against Cincinnati. And as those referees' yellow flags were flying against the Bengals, the entire crew blindly missed an obvious 5-yard penalty against the Rams for illegal motion during that same drive, too. In all sports, officials should strive to call the game fairly and consistently. And for a game which was pleasantly bereft of penalty flags, the final Rams drive was a real head-scratcher.
Number 10.
But if I was disappointed about the referees, let's talk about NBC's expedited rush to wrap up the football game and send their viewers off to the Nobody Cares Winter Olympics coverage. While the NBC announce crew of 77-year-old Al Michaels and former Bengals wide receiver Chris Collinsworth took a few seconds to thank their departing sideline reporter Michelle "Glad I'm Out of Here" DeFoya, They strongly hinted that Sunday's football game might be their last time working in the booth together for NBC. Though these self-congratulatory comments are just fine with me, the network also suddenly forgot about the 100 million football fans who'd been watching the game itself. NBC failed to discuss the questionable play-calling decisions by Cincinnati during their decisive final minute of play, which ended the game and the Bengals' season. Down by only 3 points with about a minute to go, Cincinnati had the ball around midfield facing a third down and 2 yards to go. But for some reason, the Bengals then ran the ball up the middle on third down for only about a half-yard gain, and they were forced to waste their second timeout. On the 4th-and-1 play, the Bengals attempted a pass play instead of trying a higher percentage running play, but the Rams' defensive rush quickly squashed quarterback Joe Burrow once again to end the game. NBC's post-game show trio of Tony Dungy, Rodney Harrison, and Drew Brees weren't even given a full minute of airtime to discuss the plays either. After hours and hours of pregame, NBC fumbled at the final whistle and then rushed its post-game commentary in hopes of bumping up the ratings for their flagging Winter Olympics TV coverage. Overall, it was a good football game with an unfortunate ending for Cincinnati and NBC. I'll give this game a B. I'm Swamp Swami. Come back and see us.